What's up, guys? We are back, your High Street Freaks, and we are in the thick of the off season at this point. We've officially gotten to the point where there's nothing obvious to talk about besides, I guess, the debacle of Ohio State's commencement, which is maybe like a top five most embarrassing moment for Ohio State ever. I'm talking about the commencement address, but also the person falling from the that's also ties into it. We're not going to spend a ton of time on that because that's just a very sad situation. I don't want to talk about somebody committing suicide off the stadium during commencement. We have to mention it though, because that adds to it. But not heck of a way to start the show, by the way, is we are less than 30 seconds in and we're talking about.
well, let's do this, because you and I are going to talk a lot about this commencement situation with the speaker, Chris Pan, being widely panned, no pun intended, across the country for this ridiculous commencement. We're going to read from our good friend, Max Lippman, a.k.a. at JuiceWag on Twitter, who also he's published in The Rooster with his write-up of this event. We're going to read his article and do a little bit of commentary on it, as well as suggest some pleasant alternatives that we could have had instead of Chris Pan. Yep. Before we do all that, I just want to give our plugs now so we get them out of the way, because I think we're probably going to forget if we get ourselves too far into this. So, Kevin, do you want to start off by telling the good people about meetatmidfield.com?
Meetatmidfield.com, as some of you may know and some of you may not know, is the website that me and Ryan and Patrick and some other friends started about 2 years ago at this point, maybe 3 years ago. I think we're heading into our third year. That sounds right. It's been 2 years and we're going to be heading into our third year. It is a website for college football fans, the real college football fans, not the RCFB college football fans. If you want to talk trash, if you want to talk shit about your rival, if you don't want to talk about, if you don't want to have a rival fan call you a Buckeye bro or something like that, and you just kind of, you want to get all your juices out and you want to actually talk about ball, you want to talk about scheme, you want to talk about getting the weeds with recruiting and stuff like that, we have got the website for you. We will accept you if you are a casual football fan, but
we'll make you not a casual. We're going to be converting.
That's our job. Yeah. So our whole thing is we are a group of people who are very passionate about college football. We watch it on a very deep level. It takes up far more of our time than it should. We spend a lot of our brain capacity on it. It takes up a lot of our memory. And if you are similar to that, come hang out with us. We have premium articles. We have premium podcasts, a premium edition of this podcast that will be available right after this one. A great message board. I think the best message board in college football. And to be fair, that's not actually a high bar to clear. Most message boards are notoriously shitty. If you've spent any time on a college football message board, I'm sure you know that our claim as being the best message board on the internet is the best food you can find in a dumpster, but it is genuinely good. If you found this prime rib in a dumpster, you'd be eating like a king. We love our people. They love ball. We love to talk. We've got a great community. So come hang out with us. And we'd be glad to have you.
Yeah. And just a little preview of the content we have coming. I have been in the lab this spring. I have been doing a lot of background work for our kind of previews for the season. So over the next few weeks and months, Kevin's going to be doing a ton of great stuff at Ohio State, but on the national coverage, myself and Patrick are rolling out. We will have best players in the country by position in tiers at every single position in college football. We're going to have breakdowns of every single team in the G5, P5, and independents, including conference-wide previews. We're going to have deeper dives for playoff contenders that go a lot deeper into their roster makeup, how they're built, areas for weakness, discussions of that. We're going to be doing kind of previews of the conference title races, looking at the playoff, getting into a whole lot of different stuff just from a really deep perspective. It is going to be, I think last year, we estimated, like, our conference preview articles alone came out to about the, I think it's a little over the length of the average American novel. And it's going to be, I think, even deeper this year. So it will be spoon fed to you over the course of a few months, but it's getting there. Speaking to your point about, we have another sponsor to talk about too in a second, but speaking to your point about watching too much college football, I have a question for you and our listeners can weigh in too, to see if you think I'm insane here. Or I think you'll probably think I'm normal, but who knows? I was talking to my lovely girlfriend this week. She is a former member of the Peace Corps, and her crew that went to Kyrgyzstan together are doing a reunion this year. They do it every 5 years, and they're planning to rent a house together somewhere in Pennsylvania and do like a big lake house weekend. And she was like, it's probably going to be Labor Day weekend. It's not a major football weekend, right? It's not going to be a big deal if you go. And I was like, well... I was like, well, look, I will go. This sounds fun. I want to meet your friends. That sounds great. Because I met a few of them, but all of them, right? So yeah. I just want to meet. However, it is like one of the biggest weekends of the year.
It's like that and New Year's.
It's like, yeah, that New Year's and the weekend after Thanksgiving is when every team in the country is playing. I said, would you be mad if I watched 4 to 5 games on Saturday while we're there and all these people I don't really know? What do you think? Is that unreasonable to
brother
go on this trip but lock myself in a room on Saturday to watch the games?
I was in France on Labor Day last year, and I think I watched 3 games in France visiting my wife's family. So no, I do not think that's insane. It just kind of goes with the territory. It is what it is. But
and I'm really paring down too. Like if you're at home at your college on Labor Day weekend, if you're not traveling, we're watching. I'm watching at least 4 games a window.
Yeah.
On Labor Day weekend, there's Thursday, Friday, 3 windows on Saturday, 4 windows on Saturday.
Yeah.
And Sunday, and then 1 game Monday. Yeah. I'm probably watching 30 to 35 games at normal day Labor Day weekend if I don't have plans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Really generous by paring it down.
Yeah, three to four games. Like, how are you going to choose?
Well, I looked at the schedule. I mean, obviously, I didn't count Ohio State as part of those, but just looking at the calendar, the games on Thursday night are bad, and that's also before we go. There's North Carolina, Minnesota, but who really cares? Both of those teams are mediocre. No good games Friday. Ohio State plays Akron, so that's over at halftime. Then you have Miami, Florida, Georgia, Clemson, Notre Dame, A&M, and Penn State, West Virginia are kind of the only competitive games between teams that are going to be in the race for their conference titles, right? There's really no one else that's like on Saturday.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sunday, there's also LSU, USC, which is kind of a second tier game, but still good enough to watch, and helmet game. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's 5 games, right? Or 6 games. That's 6 games over the course of 2 days. That's not terrible. I assume a couple of them will be in the same window. I think I can get away with that.
You can do it. You can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta hope that they're cool with you just like casually, you know, like having it on the TV or having it on your phone or something like that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. The best move is to like sequester myself in one of the rooms, or if it's to...
It's tough. I assume they don't know football at all.
There is one other guy there who she said is probably a big football fan.
Probably a big football fan. Okay, so that means the guy watches like 3 games a year.
The NFL. Yeah.
Yeah, of the NFL. Probably a big football fan. I love that. So it depends. It depends. I know you're an expert at watching games around people who do not give a shit about football games. You lived in Argentina for a whole year, so I'm sure I believe in you. I know you can do it. But you run the risk of like, it just depends. Do you want this to be a social experience where you're like teaching people about the game, or whether you're like, you're meeting these people for the first time. Do you want to just like dive right into like, hey man, also, I'm a lunatic, you know, like
are they going to think I fucking suck if I'm like meeting them for the first time? And like, well, look, we'll hang out for 2 of the 3 days, but one day I'm dedicated entirely to watching football. And I don't care if you guys live or die during that period.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tough to tell. Tough to tell.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to play it by ear. I think I can probably get away with it. We'll see.
I think we've told this story several times at this point, but I still cannot get over when you told us that you were watching the national title game with all your friends in Argentina. And after after Noah Ruggles missed the kick, you're silent for a second. And then somebody goes, "Do they usually miss that badly?" That's so good.
That was unfucking real.
It's like, no, they don't.
My God. Yeah. I don't really think any of them got the magnitude of it either. Like, I don't think they realized. Oh, fuck. That still drives me crazy.
And it's such an earnest question too. Do they usually miss that badly? No.
Yeah, they had no idea. Like, well, it's pretty far, right? It's a pretty far kick if it was soccer. Oh God, that sucked. Anyway, besides that, if you want another place that will enable your college football addiction, just like we will, you should go check out our fine friends at Home Field Apparel. Homefieldapparel.com. They have the internet's best vintage collegiate apparel. They dropped the NASCAR collection this week. Did you see that? The NASCAR.
Yeah, it's cool. It's super cool.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff coming.
I'm not even a NASCAR guy, but it looks super cool.
Yeah, me neither. I think that's become like maybe it's a couple years out now, but it really was. It's still a little bit. It's been a trend the last couple years to like be wearing the NASCAR gear, like a vintage NASCAR shirt is kind of the style right now. It's fantastic gear. We talked about, you guys have probably all heard this, you know, if you're listening to a podcast in mid-May after there's nothing happened at Ohio State football for the last 3 weeks, you're a veteran here. But they have shirts, they have hats, they have sweaters, they have hoodies, they have sweatshirts or sweatpants, I should say, all kinds of great stuff. Jackets, I have an Ohio State jacket. You can buy all of that at homefieldapparel.com. And if you somehow never purchased from there before, you can use the code MEETATMIDFIELD and tell them that we sent you. Do that. Do that and get 15% off your first order. Kevin, do you want to talk about this fucking commencement speech?
Yeah, I do. I don't even know if you could, like, to be fair, or like if there's any way you want like a rundown of this, or like you want to like pass it off to somebody, if like you're hearing this podcast and you're like, this speech is insane, I need to tell somebody about it, but I don't even know where to begin. Max's article is legit, like, it's the most comprehensive rundown of just how batshit insane this is.
It's especially because, as has happened to DJ and the Rooster many times, local media kind of aped off of this very quickly.
100%.
And did a worse job of it, because there are certain things, and as DJ and Max have posited on Twitter, and I think it's probably true, Ohio State is still the biggest cash cow in Columbus. Right? Like, if you want to be in good graces in the media in Columbus, there are certain things you cannot say about Ohio State. There are certain, like, black guys you can't give them. It is a very friendly and cozy relationship between local media and Columbus. It's still very, like, provincial in that way. It's true in football. It's true in just, like, regular university coverage. There's not a lot of honest coverage of that school, of that team. Thankfully, we have the Rooster and DJ and Max. Because I think this is a very good thing. There's an important piece of context we're going to get to in here that was left out for a lot of the
almost all of them. Yeah.
Papers of record. Yeah. Which was, I think, very important to understand the story. So I'm going to read some of this here. And we're going to go through this article, and then you and I are going to kind of editorialize and stop at certain points. So to start here for Max, Neil Armstrong, Barack Obama, John Glenn, Spiro Agnew, Sherrod Brown, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and Woody Hayes are some of the historical figures that delivered Ohio State's commencement speeches over the years. Chris Pan, an alumnus whom Ohio State describes as a, quote, social entrepreneur, musician, inspirational speaker, joined that storied list on Sunday, what many attendees described as, quote, the worst commencement speech ever. And that, sadly, had nothing to do with the tragic death of the yet-to-be-named person who fell from the bell tower end of Ohio Stadium shortly before graduating ceremony began. Like most normal people, I had never heard of Pan before our shared alma mater bestowed the enormous honor upon him. But thankfully, several Ohio State sources, who were granted anonymity for fear of retribution from their employer, spoke to the Rooster about Pan and his decision process. To be the Ohio State commencement speaker, there's an open nomination process followed by a panel of students and staff who finalize the process and select the speaker. The guidelines include being a good public speaker and name recognition, two things that Pan lacked. So let's just stop there, because basically they had to, like, this is not something where there's like not a lot of oversight. Quite a few people had eyes on this, right?
Right.
Students had eyes on it. Staff had eyes on it. The people that normally get this are very famous. Fauci was mine. We had Fauci.
It's hilarious, by the way. That's yeah, one of the funniest in hindsight ones. Like, at your graduation speaker, you run the risk of it aging very poorly or like very good or very funny. Like, it's always very funny to like see how it all turns out. Obviously, Ohio State, well, maybe not obviously, maybe people don't know this. Several, like 20 years ago or something, Bill Cosby was a commencement speaker. Oh, and so, like, that's pretty funny. Like, people were like, oh, yeah, Bill Cosby was my commencement speaker. Obviously, that didn't age right. But, like, Fauci in 2016, you had no idea who that motherfucker was. And then all of a sudden, 5 years later, he's the most famous guy on the planet. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, this is not to yuck on the yum here, because, like, we're mostly going to have a fun time with this story. But I did have the unfortunate knowledge of who Fauci was beforehand because of his horrendous, genuinely horrendous and evil handling of the AIDS crisis during the 80s.
My uncle
died of AIDS. And my cousin did a documentary on his life and kind of some of the issues that were started socially, which included Fauci. So I was aware of it because of that, aware of him because of that. And just how, I think, like, if people who don't know the context, like his involvement in the AIDS scandal and the AIDS crisis, people think you're like a crazy, like, vaccine denier if you hate Fauci. But
yeah,
I hate him for different reasons.
he's a rare person that, like, there's always the rare people that's like, if you actually looked at him objectively as a person, like, both sides of the aisle should hate him equally. Like,
yeah, yeah, pretty much. But of course, none of them have any any scruples.
Of course.
Anyway, okay. So, to continue on here, it says, the Rooster asked numerous members of Ohio State's commencement speaker selection committee for comment on the collective thought process, and none replied for the publishing of that article. Should that change, we'll update the article quarterly. It's additionally unknown, at least until our public records requests are returned in 1 to 2 months, if Pan's selection involved him promising a donation to the university. Regardless, the committee selected Pan, perhaps because of an invocation he gave to the Ohio State Honors and Scholars Department in 2018. Ohio State notified Pan by email of its selection. Sources told the Rooster that Pan did not reply to the university's initial email because he thought it was a prank. Despite describing himself as an inspirational speaker, Pan had never given such a large-scale speech. Ohio State had to reach Pan by phone to confirm that, yes, it wanted him to speak at the university's largest annual graduation ceremony. I mean, come the fuck on. Like,
it's so good. It's so good. Dude, like, dude, that's how I would react if I got an email asking me if I wanted to be Ohio State's commencement speaker. Just like, wow, this is spam.
Yeah.
Nope.
I mean, the guy, I think it's going to say this in the article, he has like 15,000 followers. Like, he's not.
No. Yeah.
I mean, like, if our good friend Ben Axelrod was selected, he'd have a bigger social media following.
He couldn't have been further down the list. Where's Bill Landis's invite?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll never have that Nittany Lion on stage, thankfully. But
yeah, Ben Axelrod, I mean, that would have been something.
Yeah, my God. DJ would be hilarious, obviously, right? If we had DJ up there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, other journalists, it would be amusing. I don't know.
Tim May?
Anyone who writes about Ohio State, except for Tim May, Austin Ward, and Landis, who writes about Ohio State, either went to Ohio State or grew up a fan of Ohio State.
Yeah. I feel like there's like a, I say non-zero. It's pretty close to zero. But I think Tim May is the only guy who, like, could get the invite. Maybe if he would have just stayed retired after the Dispatch or something, but he's been in like a ton of documentaries and stuff as like the go-to like quote for like an Ohio State beat writer and stuff. Like, if you're gonna choose somebody, like, it could have been Tim May. Anyway, it should not have been. What were you gonna say?
I see you can have a very meta speech where Jack Park tells you about the history of Ohio State commencements at your commencement.
Yeah, that would have been good. That would have been good.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the dude with the problematic Twitter likes?
Does he? I don't know. He's the like official Ohio State historian.
What's the at?
I don't know. He's like an old guy who's I don't know if he has social media. He's like an old guy who's
okay. Maybe he doesn't. There was an Ohio history account that was run by like.
I've seen that account as well.
You know who I'm talking about? I can't quote it directly, but I remember DJ one time sent me just like screenshots of the likes. And it was like this, like, basically it was like an Ohio State archives account and the entire, like, or somebody who maybe even ran the archives. It was not just like a random person. They like would like go to like old archives and just like share photos of like, this is a ticket stub from 1952 or something like that. But all of the Twitter likes were just like, that are public, by the way, were just aggressive porn, like all of them.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense. That sounds right.
Yeah.
God. Everyone is such a fucking pervert on social media. to continue on with the story here, it says Pan crafted his speech by constantly updating his Instagram stories with screenshots of Google documents containing his latest iterations. Pan was also, by his own admission, high on the South American psychedelic brew known as ayahuasca, which was recently popularized by Aaron Rodgers, conspiracy theorist who moonlights as an NFL quarterback. At this part, Max shares a screenshot from Chris Pan's LinkedIn, where he says, got some help from AI, and then in parentheticals, ayahuasca intelligence this week to write my commencement speech for 60K grads, there's not 60K grads, and family members at Ohio State University next Sunday. We are in challenging times. What is something extra heartfelt? In parentheticals again, try ChatGPT, but that wasn't good.
good God.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
A fake quote from Terrence McKenna.
I love that the dude is like on social media, just like openly admitting to taking psychedelic drugs to make his speech. And it wasn't even a cool speech. I guess like that's the other thing.
It's not, there's no,
like if there was something wild in it and I was like, oh shit, like that's crazy. That makes a lot of sense. It was just like, it wasn't a good speech.
No, he was, I think he mentions this and Max mentioned this in the article, I believe, but he was like, you know, singing this little light of mine, trying to people singing or booing him. It was a horrible speech, but
yeah,
he continues on and said here, Pan didn't make many friends at university during his, let's say, unorthodox speech writing process. A university source told the Rooster that, quote, he is the worst person I have ever worked with in regards to his participation in the commencement process. That assessment is not hard to believe, considering Pan is allegedly the first Ohio State graduate to ever be recruited to the notorious rat-fucking consulting agency McKinsey & Company. Pan went on to help exacerbate the opioid epidemic. Truly inspirational stuff. For a commencement as big as Ohio State, there's a well-established process of draft speeches, speech approvals, and rehearsals. The draft speeches did not go as planned. His early draft speeches contained extensive references to Israel and Palestine and their shared humanity, which the university asked him to remove, according to sources. This did not go over well with Pan, who was described as, quote, very angry while threatening to drop out of the prestigious role entirely. However, cooler heads prevailed, and Pan traveled to Ohio State early last week. He wasted little time offering searing insight to his brain chemistry by giving away necklaces and a ukulele to baffled May Day protesters and assembled local media crews. it includes a picture from someone on campus of Chris Pan giving away his necklaces here. And what looks like it's on the South Oval, maybe, from what I can tell. No, it's near the student union. It's in the back of the student union. What a freak. Yeah.
you never want the commencement speaker. Like, there's a lot of words that you should be able to say about the commencement speaker, but baffled is not one of them. Like, if you're like mad or disagree or something like that, like that's fine. But like, you should never walk away baffled by the antics of a commencement speaker.
No, you want some kind of like completely boring bureaucrat or
100%
relatively famous person everyone there already knows. Like, those are kind of the two categories people you want. He continues on. Commencement ceremony rehearsals were equally challenging for Mr. Pan. The university asked Pan to remove what can only be described as, quote, a shirtless dance number. Pan declined. He has a link here. He says, version 8 of the speech is available here. It contains some incredible content. From imploring students to invest in Bitcoin to this sublime footnote. It's footnote A.
I love this.
Move this to before the sinking so those who identify as alpha males will buy in more. Oh, Jesus.
Can you imagine a commencement speaker catering his speech to people who identify as alpha males? Like,
dude, it's so psychotic. I let's see here. I wonder what part of the speech it was. I don't think he has the footnotes listed in this version 8 that that they have linked. I think I'll read some of the content of the speech too towards the end of this. But it's truly fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's on to say, anytime you can have a commencement speaker who's only looking to speak to the quote alpha males in the audience, you simply have to do it. There are so many disgusting lines that it was hard to choose which to highlight here. I still undertook this arduous task though. Here's another footnote. What if you replace the word racism with hate? That is the root problem. It is not just racism happening. A lot of other isms too. I think that one is from an Ohio State kind of reviewer. Max had to say, it certainly makes you think, that's for sure. I'll let the brave and noble reader reading this dispatch determine if that's a good or bad thing. When I graduated, the biggest barrier I had to join the investor class was that I had less than $500 in my bank account. But any Buckeye graduate in a similar scenario will be relieved to know that all they have to do is adjust their mindset. There's another excerpt here from the speech itself. Pan says, the mechanics of investing are actually easy, but it comes down to mindset. The most common barriers are 1, fear, 2, laziness, and 3, closed-mindedness. Great investors are open-minded, understand things before others. Max continues, by far the best part of this speech is the Bitcoin section, which is somehow even more ridiculous than it sounds on its face. It should go without saying that no university commencement should contain a Bitcoin section. Here is Pan's excerpt again. I know this might feel polarizing, but encourage you to keep an open mind. Right now, I see Bitcoin as a very misunderstood asset class. It is decentralized and finite, which means no government can print more at will. In the early days, the exchanges for Bitcoin were prone to hacks and fraud, but this issue has been solved with the recent launch of Bitcoin ETFs backed by the world's two largest asset managers, BlackRock and Fidelity. And you can hold these ETFs in your retirement accounts, just like you hold the S&P Plus 500. Wow, thank you, Chris. That's awesome. That's really great you shared that, dude.
The best part was...
What the fuck was he thinking?
I have no idea. But, like, I love that if you listen to the speech, there's just audible groans as soon as this motherfucker says the word Bitcoin. And yeah, like,
and that's like from the stage angle, you can hear that.
Yes.
And then like if someone took an angle from the stands, you can hear outright booing.
Yes. And like, I think, and this goes with like Elon Musk too. A lot of these guys are just like so isolated in their like tech bro, quote unquote, alpha male bubble that they genuinely think that like all young people think that like Bitcoin is cool and like crypto guys and like NFT consumers and stuff like that. And I bet he was genuinely like confused that he was being booed after hawking Bitcoin on a stage. But yeah,
he's such a dipshit, dude. There's no other way to describe it. I mean, the guy's I think people like this kind of like LinkedIn. Here's what I'll say. I try to talk about my day job too much on the podcast here because I don't want there to be any overlap between my insane football takes and my day job.
Fair.
I work with a lot of entrepreneurs directly as part of my day job, and like these kinds of people get so isolated like in like the success when LinkedIn
the LinkedIn bubble. Yeah,
oh my god, dude,
the LinkedIn like influencers
that everyone else wants to live this way, that wants to be like,
yeah,
how I biohacked my way to 3xing my my productivity and just like nonsense like that. It is so fucking annoying. He is clearly one of those guys. And it's probably more concerning that all these people on the Ohio State commencement selection panel were into that. They thought it was a good thing. Like, yeah. It has every hallmark of it, dude. The Bitcoin thing, the, like, awkward forced singing is, like, a way of, like, you know, getting awkward and uncomfortable intentionally. Like, the
yeah.
the ayahuasca. It is, like, he fucking nails the persona to a T.
Yeah, and even the just, like, joking about ChatGPT and stuff. Like, everything about it is, yeah, it is. He is the, like, personification of, like, the LinkedIn lunatics that you're talking about.
Oh, it sucks so bad, dude. To continue on here, because this gets worse somehow. Being lectured about Bitcoin at graduation 4 years after having to have a remote high school graduation ceremony due to a global pandemic seems like cruel and unusual punishment. I agree. Max continues, but maybe we shouldn't have been that surprised by the speech. Maybe we should not have been that surprised. The speech contained numerous shout outs to fake internet money preferred by drug dealers and pedophiles. Pan later revealed that Ohio State President Ted Slapshot Carter sits on the board of a, quote, carbon-free Bitcoin mining company, which is yep. an oxymoron limited to anyone in reality. I mean, like, look, it's funny, but that's, like, a big fucking deal.
Yes,
like
that's a big red flag.
That Ted Carter, I think this is going to be said here in the article, or at least I've hinted at by people I know who are close to this, seemingly handpicked a Bitcoin guy to peddle Bitcoin when he is himself invested in a Bitcoin company and sits on the board
yep.
to an entire room of graduates. That's fucking crazy. That's like, yep. that has to be some kind of manipulation of his position.
Yeah. It's at best completely tone deaf and like not thinking like what, like, maybe he's so involved in this bubble that he thought it was completely normal to pick somebody who also loves Bit. Like, I don't know. But that's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario is, you're right, it's like manipulative and unethical. And yeah.
Yeah, it's a roundabout way to get there, but it is like a public employee using public money in terms of like the ceremony being put on by the university to like pump interest and funding into like a company he supports basically and improve his own assets.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure it'd never be prosecuted that way, or he'd be in any way like,
you know, no way. But yeah,
it's too,
that's what it looks like.
But it's 100% what it looks like.
I love the line before we move on, the, a fake currency preferred by, criminals and nerds. Drug dealers and pedophiles. Yeah. Somebody on Reddit, I saw Max shared, found that quote yeah. and was like, he really said that. He's like, what the heck? He's saying that Bitcoin is a currency preferred by drug dealers and pedophiles, or a fake crypto or yeah. fake currency preferred by drug dealers and pedophiles. And to their credit, everybody who replied to it was like, I mean, yeah, like, where's the why? Like, yeah, that's 100. Like, you just described Bitcoin. Like,
every like Bitcoin millionaire you ever heard of or seen on social media is the worst fucking guy.
Oh yeah, they're all terrible. That's why it's like I always think, when I think about I think about Bitcoin sometimes, and I'm like, man, like, how much, like, I would have, if I would have bought Bitcoin, like, you know, 5 years ago, like, I'd have so much money right now. But then, like, I just have to think about, like, the type of person, yeah, the type of person that I would have had to have been 5 years ago to have bought Bitcoin. Like, it's not worth it.
So I'll keep this anonymous because I'm sure this person doesn't want this information out there, but a good friend of mine from school did buy Bitcoin for the purpose of buying drugs on Silk yeah. Road when that was still around.
There's plenty of those people.
Yeah, and getting psychedelics. And this person, they have a wallet that still contains multiple Bitcoins, which I believe is worth in the tens to low hundreds of thousands of dollars that they cannot remember the password for to save their life.
Yep. And no, I've heard plenty of those stories. Yep.
Yeah. which maybe is an all-time nightmare.
Tell that person to try doing the drugs again, and then maybe it'll just like come out.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably the trick. But yeah, I mean, Bitcoin in general, I cannot believe, man. And like, I guess it kind of floors me that Slapshot Carter is into Bitcoin. That just does not seem like everything you know about him as a person. And if you just like read this guy's Wikipedia page, you never, ever, ever would have come up with a Bitcoin mining investor.
It's not what you would guess. No, it's pretty surprising. I got to give it to him. I thought he was older than that.
Yeah, right.
anyway, here, Max is on. Needless to say, the extended peddling of Bitcoin, which, again, is fake internet money preferred by nerds and cyber criminals. There you go.
I'm sure there we go.
Was deadpanned by the audience. He includes a screenshot here from Jordan Laird at Laird Writes on Twitter, who had a screenshot of the Bitcoin graphic displayed by Chan. And ridiculous. Or by Pan, rather. Sorry. And then he goes on to say here, Matt Hall, a loyal reader of The Rooster who's in the crowd, said the speech was so hilariously bad that it was good. Everyone's commencement speech is a bit cringe. Chris Pan's was memorably so. It rocked. So funny that my brother graduated to this. Others were less forgiving. And he includes here a quote from Delpit Dog at J Dims. The speaker at OSU commencement was literally a Bitcoin shill and scam artist selling jewelry and saying to sing instead of taking antidepressants. And how Lithuania became independent by singing. Someone died at this commencement, and this speaker was more tragic. Holy fuck. Max is on here. Another attendee, George, at Sixers Please, called the speech, quote, so bad. George later compared the speech to a mega church sermon, and others who spoke to the Rooster referred to it as having a, quote, cult-like vibe. Yeah. George reported students dazed and confused during Pan's final sing-along to This Little Light of Mine. When Pan asked students to, quote, stand if you feel so inspired, George didn't observe anyone around him making an effort to stand. If that's not enough, Pan hosted not one, but two after parties for students at the Indianola Presbyterian Church, which are listed here as free concerts occurring on Sunday at 5 and 8 p.m. The flyer he used is very obviously AI, because there is like a woman with a horribly disfigured face in the very front of the picture that is like messed up by AI. Some of the hands are wrong. There's like weird blur at certain places. Very obvious AI poster. That's so crazy, dude. He couldn't just get like stock images of people in a crowd at a concert. Like it's one of the easiest things to have stock photos of.
I say is somebody who uses AI for every one of our header images.
Whatever.
Come on.
Max goes on here. This all feels so incredibly like a sick and prank. Why did he presumably bankrolling all of this? His entrepreneurial company, My Intent, which makes ugly custom wristbands, cannot be making the kind of money needed to be chosen for all of this. The fact they end up giving free wristbands to all graduates makes us even more curious. At best, it reads as a massive marketing ploy. Pan was set up for failure by the pure fact that this occasion is not for the average social entrepreneur turned daytime karaoke singer. It doesn't need to be a stuffy speech of platitudes. The difference between that and a shirtless sing-along for peace is striking, and not in a good way either. Sunday's embarrassment of a speech shows the importance of name recognition and screening process. Ohio State, unlike many universities, does not pay commencement speakers. This leaves them with minimal options given the scope of such a speech and seemingly leads to this. Perhaps that policy be re-examined. Still, the commencement committee failed its job to screen the candidates. The university failed its job to attract a more noteworthy speaker. It also failed to prevent Pan from hawking Bitcoin. Ultimately, everyone involved in the lead-up and execution of the commencement ceremony failed the graduation students and their families. Anyone who has graduated can tell you the commencement speaker is not important, nor should they be. But graduation should be a ceremony to last a lifetime and honor graduates. At no point did that happen on Sunday. Shilling Bitcoin and trying to host a sing-along is an embarrassment to a flagship university that had every opportunity to stop this. A Bitcoin enthusiast and mental health influencer will never fit as a commencement speaker, but at least he came free. Shout out to Max. I recommend everyone follow him on Twitter, at JuiceLag. Great work.
Yeah.
And follow the Rooster as well, our good friend DJ. Come on, like a fucking McKinsey alum, ayahuasca taking, Bitcoin hawking, like LinkedIn influencer loser is just such a dark outcome for the university. I can't believe they let fucking let that happen. I don't know what else to say about it. I'm stunned.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. I don't, and I think the unfortunate thing, I've talked to Max a good bit about the whole debacle. He was trying to get, he never was able to get anybody to comment on how far down the list he was for like the choices of commencement speakers, which, like, I guess there's a, like, nobody would go on record or even like on background and say, like, was he their first choice? Was he their second choice or anything like that? Which you could probably look at in a couple different ways. Like either he was very far down the list or he was embarrassingly high up on the list. So I'll let you take your pick. What's your pick there? Do you think embarrassingly high up on the list or embarrassingly low down on the list? Because either way, it's not great, man. Right?
No, it's not great. I think I'm probably going to go my read here, my assumption. Obviously I can't support this. It's all alleged, et cetera, not actionable. It feels to me like he was embarrassingly high on the list because he was placed there by Slapshot Carter. I think Slapshot Carter handpicked him and put him on the stage. There's like no other explanation that makes sense to me. There's no way none of the other famous alumni said yes. No other more significant business leader at one of like the many large corporations in Columbus wasn't higher up on the list. There's no way that this was the guy they landed on. Like, because like they fell through the first 99 options or whatever it was. He couldn't have been anywhere near the top organically, which means I think they placed him there.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's where I kind of land too. I don't know. I don't think that there's any realm of reality where like any organic process could have landed on this guy is anywhere near the top of the list. So I tend to agree with you that the crypto president ended up with the crypto speaker. But I think like the other thing here too is if you look through the list of Ohio State speakers, we compiled like off the top of our head quite a few speakers that we would have preferred to see than Mr. Pan here. If you look through like the history of Ohio State speakers, like, you know, and I think it's 2016. Let me find it. 2016, I believe,
was Fauci.
Okay, yeah. 2013 was Barack Obama. So we're talking 10 years ago, Ohio State pulled the sitting president of the United States to be the speaker for commencement. Yeah. And now we're at a guy hawking Bitcoin.
Architect of the Iraq war, by the way. They had some price. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's embarrassing.
But
it's
like, even that, like, regardless of who, like, you can hate these people or whatever, but like, those are objectively like important people that like are, I don't know, like it, you had just going down the list of some of these names that Ohio State has had speak. Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, some of these are going to stick out.
The last three.
Barack's up there. Yeah, the last three presidents. John Glenn, yeah. John McCain's up there. Yeah, what are we doing here? Bill Cosby. I'm just kidding.
he was actually a speaker, yeah.
No, he was a speaker, but and like that, obviously that turned out badly. Like it didn't age well, but I think Christopher Reeves is is up here too. Eddie George was one, obviously that's like not a huge one, but yeah,
Archie Griffin did it.
Eddie George, not Archie did, yeah, sorry. Even this was not a spring commencement, this was a winter commencement. R.L. Stein, like the right. Goosebumps writer. Yeah. Like, come on, there's tons of people like this that could fit this bill. In fact, we came up with a whole Katie Smith is a good one too. WNBA legend, Ohio State legend, basketball legend. She spoke at the Shot in 2022. Like, get her in the shoe. Like, it's just like the list of people that we would prefer to have over Mr. Pan here is like infinite. So here's what we got. You want to pick a name for me?
I forgot to write down, but I think probably makes maybe the most sense in the world. And he's not busy right now. although maybe that's wait till he retires. LeBron James.
Yeah.
LeBron James is a huge Ohio State fan. Would get everyone in the crowd, you know, pumped up.
And
that would make a ton of sense to me.
Yeah, I think
a very easy pick.
I think the only thing there is, like, you'd presumably have to have it picked months in advance, and LeBron James is not going to concede that he won't be playing basketball on May 7th because
you have to wait till he's done.
So he's a good one. Who else did we have here? Jim Tressel.
Jim Tressel. Like, great one.
But, like, come on.
Either one. Yeah.
Urban, yeah, Urban could do it too. I mean, controversy, whatever. Like, the Urban Meyer, we're talking Chris Pan here. Urban Meyer, Chris Pan. You know, like, who else we got? J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons, great one. He obviously is a huge Ohio State fan. He's in that voiceover for the documentary on the Big Ten Network. I mean, like, he's a massive Ohio State fan.
And they're saying they don't pay their commencement speakers. Like, everything I know about J.K. Simmons and how much of an Ohio State fan he is, like, I have a hunch that he's not going to be, like, pressed for the payment or whatever, too. There's just no way.
I had another one here I didn't put on the list, but I'm just scrolling through some famous folks from Ohio. How about Bill Watterson, the creator of the Calvin and Hobbes comic strip?
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Inclusive, so he could be hard, but he'd be a great fit.
John Legend?
John Legend, sure, you know, big Ohio State fan from Dayton. Guy Fieri, Columbus native, has to be a Buckeye.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, I'm halfway kidding, but really, like, it would make a lot of sense.
It'd be awesome if Guy Fieri was my commencement speaker. At least, like, you might not remember what he said, but you can just tell people, like, Guy Fieri was my commencement speaker. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's funny. The lead singer of Rascal Flatts is an Ohio State grad.
Yeah, I think all of them are Ohio State fans, too. Like, they're a local Columbus band, so.
Yeah. Same with the Black Keys, right? They're all from Akron.
Black Keys and 21 Pilots.
Sure. Yeah, they're Ohio State grads, too, right? They're from Columbus. Larry Sanger is an Ohio State alum for his master's and PhD. He is one of the co-founders of Wikipedia with Jimmy Wales. That's big.
you can
get something out of that. I think, just like the idea of, like, access to unbiased information nowadays, how critical that is, how hard it is to do.
Yeah.
I think that one makes a lot of sense. Let's see, who else do we have down? I wrote down Sherrod Brown because I didn't realize he'd already done this before.
Yeah.
But
there's an Ohio State professor named Christopher Harada, who actually, I've never heard this guy talk, but I know he exists. He actually has the second highest IQ on the planet, and he is currently a professor at Ohio State. If we're just looking for people to talk, I'd prefer him than Chris Pan.
Sure. Yeah, why not? maybe better. It'd be better for sure. Here's someone who'd be fun and completely absurd, I'm sure. How about Steve Harvey?
I could do that, yeah.
Yeah, doing a Family Feud episode during the commencement. Come on, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want that?
That'd be super cool. It'd be better than what we had. I mean, Ohio State's had every former president, Donald Trump. I mean, we can get him in there. Would you take Donald Trump or Chris Pan?
Oh, I'm going Chris Pan. I'm kidding. I'm probably going Trump. I mean, I mean, just the absolute scenes that would occur from.
Oh, man. They would never do it, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be hilarious. I think there might be it's probably too late to do presidents. I think you probably can't do presidents anymore.
I think they're done. We're never going to have a normal president again.
I wonder if Barack did any other commencement speeches after Ohio State, or there's a chance that Ohio State is the last university to ever have a sitting president do a commencement speech.
Yeah, that might be true. That might be true. I remember Barack being polarizing, though. Like, that was one of the ones we had to shut down our comments on at 11 Warriors, so that people didn't call him racist things or something in the comments.
Fair enough.
But I miss when it was just merely polarizing and not just, like, I don't know, the end of the world. Like, imagine if Ohio State had Joe Biden speak at the well. Yeah, that'd be polarizing all around, but
That'd be amusing. George Stephanopoulos is from Cleveland.
Wow.
Yeah, graduated from Orange High School in Pepper Pike, Ohio.
Wow.
That's one. Last one I had down was Rob Lowe, the actor.
Yeah, why not?
Handsome. You know, he's handsome. That's got something.
And I think he could
go ahead.
The other thing, like, too, is these are just Ohio connections. Most of Ohio State's commencement speakers, like, don't really have, like, super strong Ohio connections. Maybe it's, like, 50-50, but, like, and a non-controversial actor. Like, literally anybody. And any like, well-spoken actor. Like, I don't know, like, what's Chris Hemsworth doing or something like that? I don't know. Literally anybody. Anybody.
Sure. Sure. Like, there has to be, I mean, I don't know. Fucking
Tony Hawk Spielberg
was born in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like, I'm sure Tony Hawk's been to Ohio.
Yeah, find a celeb with a podcast who wants to have, like, their name out there, but, like, is not doing as much of their regular work anymore. That's what you need.
Yeah.
That's 100% it. I mean,
I'd do it.
Yeah, sure, we would do it. I mean, we could do a podcast on stage.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the whole thing was an embarrassment. It was really bad. Here's the question. Do you think we will ever see a commencement speaker worse than Chris Pan in our lifetimes?
I think so. I remember at one point I can't remember what it was. I was trying to remember what it was based on the list of all of the commencement speakers. I think maybe it was George W. Bush that forced this. But there was a point when there was a commencement and people turned around and like turned their chairs around and stuff like that. And it was very embarrassing. And Ohio State just kind of like started using only boring commencement speakers from that point out for like several years, like just like members of staff and stuff like that. I could see for like 5 to 10 years, like the next 5 years, that sucks. Your commencement speaker is going to suck for the next 5 years. It's going to be the most stale, boring, like least controversial, like faculty member who runs, like, I don't know. It's going to be very boring people for the next like 5 years.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to see anything of this level for quite a while.
No, I think that's fair. I hope not. Maybe just lean into it further and get like an even more ayahuasca addled freak. Like maybe
get Aaron Rodgers.
Go get like Gary V or something. Like one of those LinkedIn freaks. Yeah.
Robert Tony F. Kennedy.
Tony Robbins asking graduates to walk across coals to receive their degree. RFK is funny.
I wasn't going to bring
Vance
this.
Is an Ohio State graduate.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but Tim Kite would have fit that bill. RIP, he died this weekend.
E plus R equals degree.
Damn.
I did have someone in a group chat. I was going to say E plus R equals RIP.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
I wonder if that's going to be on his gravestone. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm sure he was a nice guy. I think he was kind of a right-wing freak, but, you know, he didn't do anything bad at Ohio State, I guess.
Yeah.
He was Urban's buddy.
Yeah, there's nothing. We made the intentional decision to not mention his death. And then I just blew it. But I said, we could talk about Tim Kite's death. And Ryan's like, yeah, like, it's not worth it. Like, we're probably going to say something mean. And he didn't really deserve that. He seemed like a nice enough guy. So,
just a guy, just a regular ass guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Kevin, do you want to go over to the premium podcast? And
yeah, we're going to take some listener questions. We still answer those if you guys want to pose them in the, in our question box, mailbox. I don't remember what it's called, but it's over there. Just search High Street Freaks questions or discussion points, I think is what it's listed as. So, and if you want to ask us questions and you want to hear us answer questions about our personal lives or whatever, or, our favorite type of pizza or anything like that, you know, you come hang out, subscribe to Meet at Midfield and you can get the premium episode. I guess that's a podcast. So, those of you who pay us, we'll see you in a few. Those of you who don't.
Oh, wait, actually, hang on here.
Okay.
We should mention DJ just tweeted 9 minutes ago that he just received another wild tip that has him clearing the top of tomorrow's dispatch about Chris Pan. That'll be dropping at 4:33 a.m.
Oh, fantastic.
So fantastic. Maybe I can text him and see if we can get the scoop
For the premium? The
premium podcast. I bet we can.
Yeah. So yeah, obviously by the time the premium is published, I can publish it tonight. We'll publish it tonight. If you're listening to this early, you might get a little sneak peek about what TJ's got cooking for 4:33 in the morning. But yeah, for now, that is our free edition, and Ohio State fucked up, but we did not yet. So we'll see you on the premium.